We're talking about chumras last time. We're talking about, we started off talking about how unbelievably beautiful chumras are, which Elsa Sharm talks about, and the place for chumras. And then we mentioned, I think, four or five important warnings why it's important to keep away from chumras until one is holding strong in the Da'al Chelke Shulchan Aruch. I just wanted to mention, and those who weren't here when I spoke about it the first time should find out what I said, because it might be a little disjointed. Before I say the flip side, I want to mention one other problem with chumras that happens to people our age more than to older people. And that is that there's sometimes people that have feelings that they don't understand. Sometimes people feel sad, people feel like they're searching for something, people feel unhappy, people feel not the menucha. So they're searching. So like that's what sometimes you find, like this, you'll find this, like this guy when he was 19, he became Hasidish. And sometimes it could be, I'm not saying that every single such a person is that it's a kasha on every single person who does that. Maybe, it happens. But anytime you find someone reaches a certain age and suddenly they have a kabbal tremendous chumras in a certain area, you have to ask yourself what's causing that to happen. Sometimes the person is on a tremendous madrega and he's being drawn in the right way and so on and so on. That's a gevaldige gezach. Sometimes it's a cover up. It's a way of massaging himself. It's trying to fill a hole that he feels. And it's not really going to ultimately fill the hole. Ultimately, he's still going to be left with with a feeling of emptiness because he didn't solve his problem. He has a problem. Whatever it is, he needs more self-confidence. He needs to learn how to be happier. He needs to be sameach b'chelkai. He needs to, whatever the different things that he might have to accomplish are. But sometimes ceremonies, they appeal to us to wear a certain thing and to do a certain minig and to set ourselves up with a lot of ceremonies, with the structure of Yiddishkeit or the structure of Frumkeit, makes us not have to focus so much on our fact that we're human beings. I used to say over a lot, I don't think I said over recently, that a couple of years ago I was by a levaya, a very, very, very painful levaya of a young boy that was nifted from one day to the next. He was in sleepaway camp, and I was in the city, and his father used to learn in the field that I was in. And from one day to the next, like a 9-year-old kid was nifted. So we went to the levaya, and when I came to the levaya, so we were early. The whole kail went together, and we were early. So we're all sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, I'm going to look around now, and I'm going to see who's frantically saying Tehillim and who's spacing out. Anyone who's not doing one of those two things is bechlal nuts. Anybody who's stam schmoozing, buying themselves a drink, that's stam. I'm not even dealing with such a person. But some people, when they come to a very difficult levaya, they say Tehillim. And some people, when they come to a very, very difficult levaya, it's you're shell shocked. You're just quiet. And sure enough, every person that I was mishayat myself has a hard time dealing with their own feelings was saying Tehillim. It was an amazing thing. People, and I feel people who are shuckling 50, 60 miles an hour, if they would just stop for a minute, they might have to think about it. The levaya is such a difficult levaya, it's a very hard thing to think about. And I saw that it was an amazing thing, the more mature people there weren't doing anything, they're just sitting. Shtika, just sitting. See, it's an overwhelming thing. Something to think about. A child was taken, what's the sire of the parents like? It's just an overwhelming thing. It's not something you can just swallow and go on. And just, oh, a levaya, I'll say Tehillim. You're knocked over the head. We like sometimes to put like so much structure and so much Judaism into our lives that we don't have to deal with our humanity at all. Which is not the way Yiddishkeit was meant to be. Yiddishkeit was meant to be an avodas Hashem of human beings. Not a way of covering over and blocking out any kind of humanity. Rav Leichter told me that when he was in Bar Yankov, there was a bachur who lost his father. And Rav Volba called him into a room and told him, I unfortunately have to inform you, and I'm very sad to tell you, that you have to go home now. Your father's levaya is tomorrow. Whatever he told it to him. So the boy got up and said, oh, I have a bracha to say. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam dayan haemes. Rav Leichter said Rav Volba was devastated. The guy was so not in touch with his feelings, was so not in touch with his humanity, that, oh, he has a bracha to say. It's very nice, it's very religious. It's very religious, it's very Jewish. But your father passed away. It should rip out your neshama. And he was bringing that out for this point. Sometimes our Yiddishkeit comes along with the feelings. I saw a close friend of mine go through an Avelis, using the Hilchas Avelis, and using the, I'm just using that as a tremendously challenging mashal of the difficult mashal and the people have to go through, using the Avelis as the Hilchas Avelis as a clue to the feelings he's supposed to be feeling. It's just like an interesting thing. Using the fact that he has to sit on the floor as a way of realizing how bereft he's supposed to feel, how lost he's supposed to feel. He can't wear shoes, he's not ready to walk in the street. Using the halachas and getting a clue from them to the type of feelings that should be going on inside of him. The Torah is directing his feelings. But when you use it as, when a person is chas v'shalom, lo yaleinu, when a person is sitting shiva, and he just involves himself completely in the halachas, how high could he sit, and how low could he sit, and how long does the tear have to be, that's a distraction from the tzar. Of course, we would never blame a person like that who's going through such a big tzar. But I'm using that as a mashal, a lot of times in our own avodah. Rav Olbers says another thing in the same vein. He says, a lot of times you find before Yom Kippur already, a week before Yom Kippur, people are busy buying dalamina, buying sukkahs. He says, anything not to think about the avodah of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you just have to sit and think about it. It's like too difficult. It's too distressing. So you just, dalamina, it's a doing thing. I can do, but I don't want to think so much. A lot of times we take all kinds of chumras as a distraction from feeling not 100%, and that's a mistake. Leave the feeling not 100%, don't jump to new madrigas, don't jump to new chumras, and try to work. Why don't I feel 100%? Maybe I don't like myself enough. Maybe I don't feel satisfied enough with my avodas Hashem. Why don't I feel satisfied? Am I right for feeling satisfied? Is there a reason? Try to discover it, instead of just, you know, the cover-up doesn't solve anything. It's a band-aid, it doesn't solve anything. That's just an addition to the list of things I spoke about why chumras could be damaging. But I promise that there's going to be a flip side. There is a flip side, a very important flip side. And that is that we can't say any type of set rules for this. We can't say that it came out from this chabura that chumras are bad. We can't say that. And the reason, even for people that aren't keeping the whole Shulchan Aruch, I'm assuming that most people today are still challenged by trying to be Mekayim the Da'at Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. And Afal Pikin, we can't say the Chumras are completely wrong. And that's because, at least in my experience, and from people that I've spoken to, there are times that Chumras help to jumpstart a certain type of emotion and a certain type of Lebedikait in Avodas Hashem. And it depends what. And I'm not saying that therefore, you know, I don't want to switch to the other side now and say therefore a person should jump into chumras. But there are certain types of things that a person does that they add, it's a chumra, but it's a chumra that it adds to a certain feeling in Avodas Hashem, and that feeling is very, very helpful to him. Marshall, they said, when I grew up in yeshiva, so even when we were in Camp Aris, so I don't even think it's like this today in Camp Aris, but in the olden days, it used to be such a thing. You in Camp Aris? It used to be such a thing that when you're sitting and eating a Shabbos Suda in yeshiva dining room, you wear jackets for the whole Suda. Is that still like that? You don't even know. You wear jackets for the whole Suda. They wear hats, right? There used to be such a thing, and if Bachram took off their jackets, so they would get a message from whoever was in charge, would get a message, you know, whoever it is says, you should please put your jackets back on. So I was curious about that when I was about 15, and I did a little research, like what is the point of being uncomfortable while you're eating a Shabbos meal? And I found out that the feeling was, in the yeshiva, the feeling was that it adds a certain chashivas. The person should feel like a Shabbos food is not just tam a meal. He's by the king's table. He's by the king, the table of the king. It's the Rebbeinu Shlom's table. So I decided then, I was very young, I was going into 10th grade. I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to wear a jacket by the Shabbos table. since then, I think two Shabbosim I didn't wear a jacket by the Shabbos table when I was very sick. Well, two times I was just pushing, burning up with fever or something, so I didn't wear a jacket. And I felt it was an amazing thing. In a certain extent, it's the crazy chumrah to do. Here I am, a 15-year-old kid, speaking loads of Lashon Hara every day, and that singer is, who knows, and speaking loads of Lashon Hara every day, and I'm deciding this chumrah, like, who does such a thing, is to wear a jacket by a Shabbos table? It's a modern thing to do. But I had a strong taiva in those days. I had a strong taiva to be able to develop a certain feeling about Shabbos. To be able to feel Shabbos a little bit. And I had a feeling that maybe this would help me be able to feel Shabbos. To be able to feel Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos. And the taiva helps a tremendous, tremendous amount. Until today, I think now, Baruch Hashem, I have my own Shabbos table and I have my own guests. I feel, I'm not advocating doing this specific thing. I'm just giving a mushroom out of doing something that I experienced. That this thing, after you get used to it, it's just a small little thing. It's not a big deal. A couple of weeks, you get used to it, and it's not a big deal. It changed the whole way you feel about a Shabbos Suda. You're not kicking up your feet. You're conscious of the fact that you buy a Shabbos Suda. You dressed up the whole Shabbos Suda. So that type of a thing, it's hard for me to say that such a thing is a bad thing. Too much of it is a bad thing, and doing it on the wrong things is a bad thing. You have to be zayir about all the different things that we mentioned last time that could be dangerous. But whether it be in tefillah, someone sometimes take on a certain chumrah in tefillah, a certain tefillah to say, or a certain thing to do, or to, you know, whatever it is within tefillah, within Talmud Torah, within certain kiyum mitzvahs, to add a certain chumrah, I feel like sometimes it could change the whole mitzvah. Even using this mashal of a jacket, that's what I thought of tonight, the mashal I'm using, let's say for a Neris Hanukkah. If someone put on his jacket and hat when he lights the Neris Hanukkah, it's an unnecessary chumrah. It doesn't say Shulchan Aruch, you have to do that. It doesn't say such a thing. But if you do it, do you see what I mean? That without burdening yourself too much, you could give yourself an added feeling of how chashuv it is. If you go meet Rav Nassim Finkel would come to America, so people put on a hat and jacket to go meet him. They wouldn't go meet him in their shirt sleeves. Because a big Rosh Hashiva came, so you dress up to meet him. And when I'm going to be Mekayim, there, Bayan Shtom's mitzvah, I'd like his Ner Chanukah, I'm also dressing up to be Mekayim that mitzvah. It would add, so sometimes I feel that sometimes the chumrah that a person does, it pushes, like, gives a levush, excuse the pun, it gives a levush, it gives a tzura to his whole Kiyum HaMitzvah in a certain area. So that type of a chumrah, I would say is an exception, that sometimes it would be appropriate to be makabel those kind of things on yourself, pasha because it's a chizuk. Pasha the chizuk. Not because of the value of the chumrah in itself, it's not so important, the chumrah, but because of the gevaldige flavor that the chumrah puts into your avodas Hashem, and that's not a gevaldige thing. What? What do you mean? What do you mean it became a minig? Are you sure it became a minig? Are you sure it became a minig? So I would say that a person should do what his family does. And when he gets much older and he learns the sugya and he's oymid al daite and he's mature, so then he can be down on what to do. But the hanach of shuta of a person should be just to do whatever his family does, whatever things our family have been hugging. What, the family wears a jacket by the meal? I don't know, I decided that I was never going to ask anybody else to do such a thing by my table. And even my own children. Now, my children aren't negated to that yet, they're still young, but I decided when I did it, because of what you're saying, I decided when I did it that there's no reason, just because I want to be mechazik my Shabbos Suda, that my children and their children for generations after me have to be uncomfortable by Shabbos tables. So I decided that I was going to do it, and I didn't think when I was 15 about my own children, it was only recently, that I wasn't even going to mention it to them, something that I do. But still, apophikir, I still feel, if you grow up in a certain thing anyway, it's not so hard to do usually. I don't know, I can't say without exception. But. And another reason why it's hard for us to think is I think that a lot of us are afraid of our thoughts. I think a lot of people want a lot more from themselves than they're motivating themselves to. I think a lot of people that when they really, really start thinking, they start discovering in themselves, when they're really thinking, real desires for real aliyah. Because in the hearts of many people, there's real cheshek for real shtaggy. And I think it's frightening for us, because the responsibility that carries with it. And how do I implement that? And what do I do with that? And those are all good questions. And that's
not on the topic for tonight. Those are all good questions. If I'm not holding this, how do I implement my big thoughts? But first we have to. What a crime it is that, and I'm not saying that people do it consciously. People sometimes don't think because they're afraid of what's going to happen when they start thinking. How many people went for years, and we all know people like this that went for years without learning, and then at some point in their life they got turned on and started learning very seriously. And if they think back now, it's because they finally started to come to terms with what they really want. They finally couldn't ignore what they really want anymore. It finally started to. I just can't keep playing around anymore. I realize in my heart that I want something here. So that's something that a person has to be machazik himself. To think, and if it's frightening to think, that's more of a reason to think. That's more of a reason to think. To be mavar our feelings. What do I really want out of life? What do I really want out of my relationship with Hashem? What kind of a person do I want to be? What kind of a father do I want my children to look up to me as? We're not too young to think about that. Because the building blocks are now. What kind of meters do I have that one day I keep telling myself, very soon I'm going to change, I'm going to stop doing that. Very soon I'm going to stop being that way. Very soon I'm going to get over that. What kind of things do I have like that, that very soon is just never happening? I have to start thinking how to implement those things. But there's nothing that prevents a person, and this Revolva says, there's nothing that prevents a person from thinking more than the fact that it may sound like a funny thing to say, but it's a fact by most people, is that the reason why you don't like spending time with yourself is just like you don't like spending time with anybody that you don't like, because you don't like yourself. Many people aren't so thrilled with themselves, and aren't so proud of themselves. So when they're alone with themselves, they feel uncomfortable. They don't like themselves. It's much easier to turn on the music loud, or to call somebody, or to do something, or to do anything, but just to spend time with myself is very, very hard. That's a terrible, terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I think much too many people have a hard time being explaining because they just give up after a few minutes. They just give up. They're just not happy with what's going on inside. They have thoughts that frighten them. They have things going on inside that are difficult for them. They have yetzeharas that they feel guilty about. They have dreams that they feel they gave up on already. There's so much sometimes. Even people, young yeshiva bachurim, you think they didn't, not so many years passed. Enough years passed already that they already could be very, very, very down on themselves. And then they'll, of course, well, I'm going to start thinking about myself. I'm the last person I want to think about. I'll think about anybody. I don't want to think about myself. And so that's very, very important to be mechazik. And again and again and again. And I have to keep saying it again and again. And you have to keep hearing it again and again. And saying it to yourselves again and again. It's a very, very, very important thing. That there's no such a thing as a person that's mufrach. There's no such a thing as a person that's just such big problems, such strange problems, such disappointment that it's ready, you might as well throw in the towel. There's no such a thing. Every single person that's alive today, especially a person that's in a yeshiva, especially a person that's a firm person, no matter what his disappointments are, no matter what his thoughts are, that maybe he thinks to himself, if anybody would know that I have these thoughts, they'd think I'm out of my mind. No matter what kind of mysterious things are going on in their mind, every single person is beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than we can imagine, and every single person has priceless midas, talents, midas. Every single person has not just a valid contribution to make to Klal Yisrael, but an Eivish HaNesham HaTluyavoy, a vital contribution to make to Klal Yisrael. And we have to start getting to like ourselves a little more. The Rabbanu Shalom likes us. And if the Rabbanu Shalom likes us, we can like ourselves too. And the Rabbanu Shalom knows all the nesianis that he put us into. And the Rabbanu Shalom knows that there could be disappointments in our past. And there could be things that it's hard for us to focus on. We have to push through anyway to think and to talk to ourselves. We right away say, someone who talks to themselves is nuts. It's not true. The people are nuts, the people who don't talk to themselves. Someone who talks to himself, he has the first step. Here's the first step. Someone who talks to himself in public, he's nuts. But that's the first step, is that a person has to be way the Rebbeinu Shalom created me. The Rebbeinu Shalom is taking care of me. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is directing me. And every single thing that I need, from a pair of socks to the right Rebbe at the right place and time, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to provide for me. And the Rebbeinu Shalom has a function, there's a purpose for me in this Bria. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to lead me to fulfill that purpose in this Bria. In a way that's balanced, in a way that's healthy, in a way that I can handle, in a way that I could be sameach in, a way that I could be happy with. And now I have to start taking little steps to start figuring out which direction to go in. So I'm going to start thinking now, where do I want to go? That's how a person should start thinking. To take those first steps in a positive way. In a positive way, not because we have a shita that even when things are negative, we should say them in a positive light. No, that's childish. It's childish to say things in a positive light, the negative. The reason why a person has to think in a positive way is because it's taka positive. Because every person who's alive today has an invaluable contribution to make to Yiddishkeit. Every single person who's sitting here has a mishpacha to raise one day. Every single person that's sitting here has children to be madrich al derech Hashem. And this is without any headline making news. Just that is headline making news. Being able to be madrich a family properly. Every single person has a very unique relationship that they're going to have with Hashem. There are mitzvahs that are going to be chaviv to them. There are Torah that's going to be special to them. And mimeila be so special to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're mechubadim. We're honored people. We're special people. We're valuable people. And the Rebbeinu Shalom values very, very much every single one of us. And if we're going to start thinking without that first step, of course, right away it leads into Yiddish. Who among us hasn't had disappointments in the past? Who among us hasn't wondered if they're normal? Who among us hasn't wondered if they have if they can do something positive for Yiddishkeit? If they can do both? Everybody has doubts. Nobody knows about the other person's doubts. Nobody knows about the other person's issues. But everybody has doubts, and everybody has things that plague them inside. And everybody has their own nightmares and their own peckle. But the Rebbeinu Shalom is the one who gives out all those doubts. And with the doubts, the Rebbeinu Shalom also has tremendous... It's a funny thing to say, the Rebbeinu Shalom has tremendous respect for us. We're battling a lot. And even the etzem thinking itself is a tremendous thing. To push through thinking. It's so easy to just like leave go in our cell phone, music, radio, filled world. It's so easy to just fill ourselves with action. Every second. Now you can already get a radio that fits into the shower in case you had this 2 minutes left of the day and you were completely alone. You can have a radio blaring at you so that you don't ichas v'shalom, even have those 2 minutes to think that it used to be that a person had, like, what could he do? He's in the shower. Like, what's he going to do? He has to think. No, now they made waterproof radios that you could have in the shower already something to stir you. And in the car, and wherever you are. And every day the cell phone is, the cell phones are able to reach more. There's no place you can go that cell phones don't work. I was looking, I recently got my cell phone switched to new cell phones. I was in the Verizon, in the mall. I was in that Verizon place upstairs in the mall. And they have a map there of every place that Verizon has service. Different kinds of service. And I was like looking at this certain places where there's no service. And it was funny, I was making fun of myself. It was like, I can't believe it. There's places where there's no service. Like, how do you feel when you're in a place that's no service? You're like disconnected from the world. Like, what happens if you have to make a phone call? It's like a funny thing. Like, the world changed. It's amazing. Like, yeah, maybe that's a good place to go a little bit. Maybe that's nice. Rabbi Max told me that he went away in the summer. We were talking in the summer because I wanted to go away, and he was telling me about different places. So he told me he went to a place in the summer where his cell phone didn't work. And he said every morning when he was there, he would go out, after he'd have a shot for a second. anybody that I know ever made a chesed nefesh more than two nights in a row. What's the pshat in it? Why is this like such a hard minute to do, to make a chesed nefesh? So a couple of years ago, I was thinking that the pshat is, I think it's the Emes thing. The pshat is, because like, it's a depressing thing, Lamaisa. You make a chesed nefesh, you're like, okay, I messed up again. And then you do it Monday night, and you messed up again. Tuesday night, you messed up again. By Wednesday night, you're not going to remember to do make a chesed nefesh. It's not like it was a pleasurable experience. Nobody forgets when the gym is open. It's a pleasurable experience. You remember about it. Making a cheshvan nefesh is Gehenna. Nobody, you're not going to remember about it. Just like you don't remember about a dentist appointment. You know, it's just not a fun thing. You don't remember about it. So I have a different idea. I think a person should try to make every night or every week or every Rosh Chodesh at some time to be by himself and make a cheshvan nefesh. And to think about all the positive things he did that day. All the mitzvahs that he did that. You should think of all the mitzvahs that he did that day. That he spoke to, all the people that he smiled at. Maybe he called his parents and made them happy. Maybe he called his grandparents before Shabbos and said, "Good Shabbos." Maybe he encouraged a friend who was down about something. Maybe he saw something on the floor in yeshiva and he picked it up. Every little thing was a very kosher mitzvah. And imagine if we got into that habit every night before we went to sleep. We thought of all the positive things we did that day. And we all do, Baruch Hashem, very many positive things every single day. That's a gewaldic thing, and it's a gewaldic thing for Avodas Hashem. Because when we take time to notice the good things that we do, we're going to do it again. I just mentioned, for example, bending down on the floor and picking something up. So sometimes a person sees a tissue on the floor, something on the floor, and sometimes it happens that a person actually bends down and picks it up. It's a covet for a yeshiva. And then he forgets about it. Then it's lost, he forgot about it. What would happen if that night the person would say, "You know something? I didn't even realize, I did a positive thing today. I cleaned up a little in the yeshiva." That's a chashuva thing. You know, in Kelm, they used to make a gyro. The person who won the gyro got to clean up the base medrash, got to mop the floor. That was the winner of the gyro. You would, like, it was like a madrega. People were jealous of the guy who gets to clean up. That's a big thing to clean up a base medrash. That's gavaldic. That's a great thing that I did. The next day, he's going to see a tissue on the floor. You think he's not going to pick it up? Of course he will. A good cheshbon nefesh, I think, is a powerful tool. A person machazik his friend. You forget about it. Yeah, I'm machazik. He's machazik. But if you take a few minutes alone, thinking to yourself, you know, it's a very nice thing that I did. I said a nice word to someone. I complimented someone. I told someone that their haircut was nice. It probably made them feel good. He's going to do it again the next day. I guarantee you that if someone makes that kind of cheshbon nefesh, I can't guarantee that you'll remember, but I guarantee it'll be easier to remember. But that is just another way. Without the negativity, without the yish, without the depression, in a positive way to think about ourselves. I don't know why we associate people that think about themselves as depressed people. Because we just have in our heads that if you think about yourself, you're probably depressed. There's probably like depressing stuff going on. No, people, the happiest people could be thinking about themselves. And having nachas from themselves. I mean, machazik themselves weiter. It's a gewaldige thing. And this is what he says, this is the first step to